My conscience, my good conscience, keeps me more awake than coffee. My good conscience keeps me more awake than coffee. Doesn't that sound fascinating? Mm-hmm. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Capo, California. My good conscience keeps me more awake than coffee. Very interesting idea. What is our good conscience? What is our conscience? Our conscience is the sum total of our values. Our conscience is the sum total of who we really are. Not who we appear to be, or who we look like, or who we wish we were, but who we really are. Our conscience is that which guides us in our thinking, in our acting, in our doing, in everything that we are. Our conscience is always there directing us in those things, although it is silent. It is a silent conscience, and it is very silent, and it doesn't say anything at all. It just is a knowingness within ourself of what is right and what is wrong, as far as it is concerned. Now, we may have been brought up in certain attitudes of society, and the attitudes of society allow us to do things in one place that they don't allow us to do things in another place. And so our conscience is made up of those attitudes. Those attitudes may be everybody drinks wine from age zero on up in Italy. The Italians put a little bit of wine in their children's drinks early on because they want the children to get used to wine, because wine is their native product. It is their natural product. It is something that they feel is healthy. And of course, science today is saying that it's healthy. And so it is. It's healthy. And if you believe it's not healthy, then it's not healthy. It all depends on you. We were talking the other day about how much sleep you need. And a lot of people say that they should have 8 hours, and a lot of people say that they should have less than that. A lot of people say they can get by with almost no sleep at all, and that's all fine and dandy. What do you believe? Recent studies have shown that the body doesn't really need any sleep at all. You say, what kind of studies were those? Because I have seen scientific studies that showed bodies deprived of sleep do not survive very well. Well, that's true. Deprived of sleep. If you ever think you're deprived of anything, then you are in a problem. Now, what happens to a computer? A computer is put into the sleep mode, and when you are ready to use it again, you just press a button, bop, there it's up. Now, the human body is much the same way. The human body will sit down and relax and think, hey, hey. Does the human body think?
No, it is.
The mind thinks. So what's the human body doing while the mind is thinking? It's relaxing. It can. Now, you can be so concerned about your body that you don't let it relax, but I don't know anyone who's able to do that. But the body relaxes. And when the body relaxes, it's in sleep mode. And so in reality, the body is in a condition of sleep. Now, how many hours of the day is your body in the condition of sleep? You're reading a book. Oh, you're holding the book, you know. Or you're going to a movie. Now, is your body in a sleep mode in the movie? Not hardly. Your body is right there doing whatever the people in the movie are doing. And your energies, your responses of your body, your chemical responses, your electrical responses, your thought responses of your body are alive and active and dynamic. fact, you're probably more active during a movie than you are during reading a book or even living your normal life. Because in your normal life, you have many, many moments. Oh, probably a third of your normal life is spent sound asleep. Your body is totally in relaxed position. It is in the sleep position, you might say, in the, it's ready to go at any moment. It's in a neutral. Yeah, in neutral. That's a good term for it. Your body is in neutral. Yeah, I like that fact. Your body is in neutral. And it is not moving. It is not moving. It is not active, and it's not active. It is available. Now, if I shake you and you're sound asleep, and you, you know, you're ready to go, aren't you? You don't say, what's going on here? Some people do that. But that's because they think that's what they should do. It's not because that's natural to do. If you want to find out what's natural to do, go to the source. Go to children who are little children. And they sleep, and you shake them, and they're wide awake, or they don't wake up at all. You shake them, and they don't wake up at all. They just keep right on sleeping, content. They're in an atmosphere where they don't feel any fear or any anxiety or anything. And if something's shaking them, that's natural. And the child on his mommy's back as she works in the field is sound asleep, you know, and the mommy is hacking a hole and digging and planting seeds and doing things. And the child's just rhythmically on her back, just or in, hanging on the front of her, you know, however she happens to be carrying him. And in some cultures, the men carry the children. But the child is quite content. It is its way of life. And it has learned that it can sleep during those times. It doesn't learn that it can sleep. It just sleeps. It has no fear. It has no thought. It has no nothing. But the thing is, when you wake up a child, he instantly is alert and aware. He's not got sleep in his eyes. He's not got tension. He's not got yawniness. He might, but he doesn't usually. Normally, you say, well, a child gets a lot of sleep. I'm not talking about the amount of sleep a child gets. I'm talking about the response that a child has to wakefulness. And the response that a child has to wakefulness is instant and alert. This is natural. And then as we go on in our life, we think, oh, I'm so tired, I need my sleep. And when you say, I need my sleep and I'm so tired, you are planting in your consciousness that idea. So you're building in your conscience a whole new attitude of how you think about sleep and how you think about how much the body needs of it. Now, there are people, and I would say the majority of the people, who, when they get excited about something, really excited about something, they don't even notice the day and the night going by. They don't even notice the sleep being missed. They don't even notice these things. Until someone says, oh, you didn't get any sleep last night? You were up all night? You must be so tired today. Oh, come on now, you know. We plant those thoughts in our mind, and they become a reality in our experience. Now, if you take an artist and he is totally involved in what he's doing, night and day goes by, and you look at that artist. Now look at that artist. I know you don't have an opportunity to look at one every day, but just look at him mentally. Does he have bags under his eyes because he wasn't sleeping? Is his body tired because he wasn't sleeping? Is he hungry because he wasn't eating? He just nibbled off his plate and he went back to his painting, even if he didn't nibble off his plate. He didn't tell himself he was tired. He didn't tell himself that he had to have bags under his eyes. He didn't tell himself that he was sleep deprived, you know. He told himself, I have an idea, and that idea is coming out of me, and I'm putting it on canvas. I'm writing it on my musical score. I'm doing something. Or, hey, Hey, here's a good one for you. How many times have you read through the night because the book was so interesting? You read right through the, your eyes were not tired. Your body was not tired. You may have been sitting in a chair. You may have been lying in bed, but you're reading this book, and this book is so all engrossing that you don't think of being tired. And you don't think, the only thing you say to yourself, oops, I got to go to work tomorrow morning. I better get some sleep. Ah, ha, ha. Well, read your book. It's as good as sleep is ever going to be. Your book is going to be complete involvement of yourself into who you are. You see, we have trained ourselves, because of our society and because of the world in which we live, that we must have so much sleep. I mean, all I have to do is say, how many hours must we sleep? And everybody says, 8 hours. That's the standard, you know. What would happen if you don't get your sleep? You're sleep deprived and you're going to be tired the next day. Can you ever make up sleep? Can you ever make up sleep? Have you ever heard that one? And what's the answer?
No.
No. See, you know it already. Now, what if you say to yourself, yes, I can make up sleep. I can go for a week without sleep, and then I can sleep for a week, you know, and I can make it all up. Now, if you think you can, you can. But you don't think you can. You just don't think you can. This is what we've been trained not to think. That is to think. We think we can't. We think we must have so much sleep. We think we must have these ideal conditions. Now, in the middle of the night, you have some sort of a need to go to the bathroom or you need to wake up. You're having a dream that's it's unimportant, but it's a busy dream and it's irritating. And so you wake up and you say, what is this busy dream that's so irritating? I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what I was dreaming, you know. And why am I so alert? Well, you're alert because you're ready to get up. You're ready. Well, I only went to bed an hour ago or 2 hours or 3 hours ago. So, you had enough. You had your deep REM sleep, and you had your deep attitude sleep. You were completely out of it, and now you're back in it. So get up and get going. Enjoy your life. Read your book. Write your book. Better yet, write your book. Get up, get going. If you have a desk, go to your desk and do your things. Sit at your computer. Write lovely things. If you feel like it, go and make yourself a snack. Have some coffee. Doesn't have to be a heavy snack. It could just be something light, like a bowl of spaghetti or a bowl of beans or something like that. Something easy to make. But the thing is, go have a snack. And you don't have to eat the whole bowl. You know, it's a wonderful thing.
Good soup.
Yeah, good soup, right? Uh-huh. Huh? What?
The wonton soup.
Wonton?
No, she means wonton.
Wonton. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean that Chinese soup. Yeah, that's always good. Or that egg basket soup, or what do they call it? Egg drop soup. Yeah. You go and do whatever you want, but act as though it's not unusual for you to get up and do whatever you want to do when you wake up. So it's 10 o'clock at night. You've been asleep for an hour. So it's 1 o'clock in the morning. You've been asleep for an hour or 2 hours or three, whatever. And you get up, and I oftentimes do this. I wake up and I say, well, that was nice. Now I can sit in a chair and fall asleep again, or I can lay down and fall asleep again, but only because I feel that's what I should do. But what I like to do is to get up and go and take a walk on our 3-mile path around their property, up and down the mountains and around and everything, and it's wonderful. And I come back and I feel just fit as a fiddle and have a nice cup of coffee or tea or whatever, and I sit at my computer and I answer all the mail that has come in, and I write some mail that's going out, and I just have a ball. I just have a very relaxed, peaceful time. Then it's time to get up and go and join the rest of the group for breakfast. And then it's time to go take a swim or take a jacuzzi or go on our chi machine, and do whatever things we're doing. It's just wonderful. And do I feel tired? I may yawn now and then during the day. But have you ever yawned during the day after you had 8 hours of sleep or 10 hours of sleep? Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. Oftentimes you yawn when you have too much sleep.
Exactly.
And you don't really have too much sleep, because you just sleep whatever you feel you want to sleep. And it's great. But I'm not saying this because I want to promote less sleep. I'm only saying these things because I want to promote the fact that we put in our conscience, we put in our conscience what it is that we want to guide our life. Now, do we put in our conscience that we guide our life with values, with principles, with integrity? Do we put in our conscience that we only think thoughts that are beneficial to ourselves and to others? Do we put in our conscience that we like ourselves? Above all else in the entire universe, do we like ourselves? Not this physical body we have, but this spiritual, mental body that we live in. Do we like that? Do we think that is real cool? Do we think that's a powerful, dynamic, wonderful attitude, wonderful force? Wow! You bet we do. Do we know that we are one with all other beings in the universe? Woof! When the day that we come to that awareness, you know what's going to happen? We're going to be one. We're going to be acting like we're one. We're going to live like we're one. We're going to be the one. It's a wonderful thing. You see, our life is so filled with possibilities and magnificence and joy and peace and harmony, and it's up to us to start benefiting from it. Now, we've been making some silly statements lately, and we've been saying, you know, every time I think about somebody, they call. Every time I think about something, it happens. Every time I think about this or think about that, it takes place. And then you say, well, why aren't we totally healthy? Why aren't we totally wealthy? Why aren't we this? Why aren't we that? Because you're saying, why aren't we? Why don't you change that statement around to say, I am wealthy, I am healthy, I am fantastic, I am glorious. You know, you wonder why you're experiencing the not when that's what cause you're putting in motion. And start experiencing the am. I am. I am. I am. Now, whatever it is that's in your heart, in your mind, in your thought, in your being, now. Now is when you experience it. Now is when you want to have it. And that's when it happens. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Okay. Then start acting like it. And when I tell you to do something, don't say, you know, say, ah. Yes. Every time I tell you anything, say, ah. I buy that. Yeah, let's go that route. I think that's wonderful. Okay, now, I think it's wonderful also that we're coming to a new understanding of ourselves. When we understand the foundation of things, it's so easy to be not tolerant of it, but to be appreciative of it. We become appreciative of it. And when you become appreciative of that you're magnificent, that you're fantastic. Now, I sent Greg a happy birthday wish today. Happy birthday, Greg, if you're listening. I sent him a happy birthday wish. And on the happy birthday wish, I said something about my special angel, did I say?
Favorite.
My favorite angel. Yes, I knew one of you would remember the word. My favorite angel. And when you all heard it read, you said, I thought I was your favorite angel. Well, you are.
Of course.
Everyone is my favorite angel. Unconditional. And if you ever think that somebody else is more my favorite angel than you, that's only because you're not turning on that love, you know. You should just turn on that love and say, yep, Herb loves me. You know, like the two guys who were on television years ago, the brothers, and one would say, Mother loved you more than she loved me, you know. And, you know, Mom loved you more than she loved me. And they were always saying these things, and they're trying to be funny. But what they were saying was a truism. They thought their mother loved them more than the other because they had no condition. You see, when you have no conditions, then the love that you receive is unconditional. when you think of yourself as being a good, nice, desirable kid, naturally your mother loves you more than anything in the world. And the other kid, he's mischievous and got little problems. He says, "Mother doesn't love me as much as she does you." No, no. It's you don't love yourself as much as I love me, you know. If you would love yourself as much as I love me, well, then Mother would love you just as much as you love yourself. Because that's the way it is. We receive according to how we give out. And how do we give out? If we give out unconditional love, beautiful love, then we live in that fantastic state of consciousness. My good conscience keeps me awake more than coffee. My good conscience keeps me alert and alive and filled with life. And by good conscience, I mean the conscience that is beneficial to me. The conscience that's not beneficial to me does its equal job. But I am panicky. I am filled with fright and I am filled with insecurity and things like that. Whereas my good conscience or my beneficial conscience, I am naively happy. I have no idea why I'm happy. I am just naive and I'm happy over everything. Somebody spills a cup of coffee on me and I say, "Hey, that was nice. That felt so cozy and warm. I'd like to have it all over me," you know. And, you know, could you say something like that?
Yes.
Yes, well, do it. And, "Oh, my shirt, you got my shirt all wet and now it's all full of coffee stains. Oh, what am I going to do?" "Well, take it off and rinse it." "But I got nothing else on." "Well, take it off and rinse it. So what, you know?" I mean, why bother? You can see why not wearing clothes is such a benefit. If something spills on you, just go under the shower and rinse it off. But our life is so filled with joyous, wonderful, beautiful situations if we just open our eyes and wake up to it and realize that the coffee of our life should be the joy of our heart and the joy of our conscience. And the joy of our conscience comes from the joy of life. You're all wonderful. And I think that I am blessed by the most magnificent people in the world. And that includes everyone who listens to this wonderful tape. Enjoy the thought for today every day. Because I certainly enjoy giving it. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.